Well, if you'll take your Bible, Philippians chapter number 4 tonight, Philippians chapter number 4, always thankful for the opportunity to be able to get up here and share the Word of God with my church family. I hope it's been a blessing to you this summer. I know it's been helpful to me. I told Callie earlier today, this may sound weird, but y'all already know me, so here we are. It's been a little bit therapeutic to be able to just share some things and it's been really good for me, and just reviewing some things and just remembering how God's worked in our lives on deputation or just through this process, whatever it is, just thankful for the opportunity. Thankful again tonight. Tonight we're only going to read two verses, but I think they're ones that are important. I know the entire book is, but these are ones that are very familiar. So why don't you stand with me, Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Those two verses. Let's pray, and we're going to get into the message tonight, all right? Father, we're grateful for your word, thankful for how you speak to us. And God, I know we've prayed multiple times tonight, but we're here again because we want to hear from you. I want your Holy Spirit to speak to us and move on our hearts. Lord, I pray that as I pray, everyone in here softens their heart and opens the door to you. Lord, help me to be clear. Help me to be concise. And Lord, just speak to us tonight where we need you to. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I have won one foot race in my entire life. Now, I know I don't look like a runner. That's why I haven't won very many races. I've never been the fastest person in a group. My mom has pictures from this fifth grade track meet that they had in elementary school. And you can tell from the pictures, it's not a video, the pictures, how bad of a runner I am. And it's also an embarrassing picture because there's only like one person behind me because I'm in almost last place. And so it's really, it's just a lot of embarrassing pictures. But the one race I want to tell you about is the one that I've won. And there's been times, working for pastor, I've had seasons where I'm like, I'm going to be a runner. And a couple of things have happened during those times. Number one, I hated every step of trying to be a runner. And number two, here's what it is. I'm going to be a runner. And I was going to run a 5K, and then I ran a 10K. So I've run some races, but I've never won. And so my first one was this. I hate every step of this. And my second was this. I'm not going to get last. And I've never gotten last in a race, but it felt like I did at the end of my 5K that I ran on July 4th one time when I crossed the finish line and someone from the crowd yelled, "Good finish, big fella!" And I'm like, what in the world just happened? And it's okay to laugh. It happened, yeah. It's a true story. And I hated every step of it. And then I hated it more right after that because my wife was right there and she made fun of me. So, okay. But the race I want to brag about tonight is when I beat Michael Kaufman in a foot race. Brother David knows this story. It's a good story. We were at staff planning. We went to somewhere in East Texas, and we were there. And though we are all grown men, and we are grown men that are spiritual leaders, I almost said supposed to be, but I feel like we are, and most of the time. And so we're supposed to be spiritual leaders. There is still a sense of competition when you get all of us together for 4 or 5 days in one house. And so this is probably midway through the week, and arm wrestling has already happened. Wrestling has already happened. Wrestling some more has already happened. I mean, it's just you get a bunch of guys together, you can't help it. We watched a dude kill a beaver that year. It was awesome. If you don't think killing a beaver was cool, the beaver was like this big. I've never seen one up close. And so, but this was about to, people were racing. And for some reason, they were picking on the fat kid. And so I'm like, sure, I'll race you. So me and Michael line up. Pastor says the finish line's here and the starting line's here. And we line up. Now, mind you, it was a little bit dewy outside. The ground was wet. And I chose the inside lane because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do, right, Gabe? And so, Gabe, just give me a yeah, thanks, appreciate that. And so, I don't know who yelled go, ready, set, go, and we took off. But at the very first step, Michael, or Brother Michael, slipped and fell. I didn't stop. I got ahead because I need all the help I can get. And so I ran as fast as I could, and I beat him by like 2 strides. You're saying that's not a lot. I won the race, okay? And so I brag about that to this day, and every time I bring it up, he says I slipped, and I say it's because your big head was weighing you down. It was just, it's a good time. It's a good time every time I see him. So next time you see Brother Michael, just be like, hey, I heard Colin beat you in a race. It would be awesome if you did that for me. And so, and I thought about this today that I couldn't beat him in a race again. There's no possible way. Even if we raced that day, I would have lost. But I'll never race him again because the last time we raced, I won. And so I'm going to finish on top. I retired. And so, but I thought about it. And the only way that I think I could probably beat him is that if I put, you know, a backpack full of rocks on his back. And so I actually brought a backpack full of rocks. And so I want to show you what that would look like, okay? So I had my suit coat on, okay? That was it. And so if I put this, and I'm telling you, this is heavy. Okay, can you hear this? It's full of rocks. And so I think if I would have put this backpack full of rocks on Michael, I could probably beat him. I think if I put this backpack full of rocks on Gabe, I wouldn't beat him, but I'd get closer. And so, no, the backpack just broke. This is going to make this sermon way harder. Here we go. And so this backpack full of rocks weighs a lot. But I know, guarantee it would slow him down. And tonight, as we talk about verses 6 and 7 of chapter number 4 in Philippians, this is what it's about. It's about worrying. And worrying is like putting a backpack full of rocks on your back. Because it does nothing for you except for slow you down. It makes it harder to walk around. It's going to make it really hard to preach now that I only have one strap. But we're here. And let me tell you, look, I read this definition of worry. This is just in the dictionary.com. Here it is. It's this: to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts. It's from your own self. To torment yourself with, that's awful, or suffer from disturbing thoughts. See, worry is something that I think we can all struggle with at some point or another in our life. But the amazing thing is that God gives us in His Word tonight the answer. Look at verse 6 with me again. It says, be careful for nothing. Now, that says nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything. That's a high standard, isn't it? Okay, is there anybody else that's a worry wart in here at times? Is it just me? Okay. We have a few that are honest and others that are shaking your head. I appreciate it. See, it's not only a wild standard just for us today, but it's also a wild standard, in my opinion, for the Philippians. Paul wrote this originally to them, and it's interesting because the city of Philippi was a Roman province. Now, that sounds like, okay, it's a Roman province. They had to live under Roman rule. And at this time, not only did Philippi live under Roman rule, they were hook, line, and sinker, believed the Roman government and everything it said. And at this time, not only was it Roman rule, but the citizens of Philippi, they drank the Kool-Aid. Can we say it that way? They were full on. And Nero was the emperor. If you know anything about Nero, he was insane. Absolute lunatic. He persecuted Christians. He was believed to be a god. And they hung on every word that Nero had to say. He was responsible for burning and destroying 70% of Rome. And it's historically known that he gleefully danced in his palace as Rome burned. The dude was a lunatic. And so Nero is now the ruler. Paul is writing to the Christians in Philippi, and he says, hey, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Now, Paul isn't just writing this and just, like, you know, has no ability to relate with them, because Paul at this point, he's writing from prison. And not only was he writing from prison, but he was also being slandered by other preachers while they were preaching the gospel. They're preaching the gospel, but they're also slandering Paul, and they're saying he got what he deserved. And there's all these things that are going on in Paul's life and in the Philippians' life. And then Paul writes this to them. He says this, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about absolutely anything. And then he gives them clear instructions on what to do instead of worry. Pray. It's too easy, isn't it? It's too simple. There's no possible way that praying is going to fix what I'm worried about. Not only pray, though, read the verse with me, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything, by prayer and supplication. So go to the Lord earnestly praying with thankfulness. Pray with confidence. Now, don't worry. Pray. I know y'all know I'm a super smart guy, but this is bottom shelf stuff, okay? You know I'm a simpleton, okay? And it seems too good to be true, and because all I need to do to curb my worry is pray. All I need to do when I'm sitting up at night and I can't get this certain situation that I'm worried is going to turn out this way out of my mind, all I need to do is pray. Okay, none of you are skeptical like me, but I'm like, there's no possible way at first sight. And so I read this verse and I think, because I struggle. I struggle not to worry. I struggle at times, let's be honest, to be thankful. And I struggle to bring my request to the Lord because I'm more concerned with what I'm worrying about than going to Him with what I am worrying about. And so when I read this verse, I just think there's no way that's it, but it's in the Word of God. The two verses answer themselves. And the amazing thing is the result of not worrying, but instead praying is this, verse number 7. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I've read that verse, I can't tell you how many times. It's underlined, it's circled like 10 times, it's bracketed, it's got stars in my Bible. I've read it so many times, but when I was studying it today, and I got to that word keep, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. We understand that part. God will give you a peace that you completely don't even understand. And at times, the lost world will look at you and say, you're going through this situation. How do you have so much peace? There's even been times where fellow Christians go, I don't know how you're doing it, but that's amazing. But then I got to that word where it says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Did a little word study on that. And it's like placing a guard at the gates of your heart and mind. Now, when we went to England for the first time, Hadley was 3 years old, Beau was about 6, and Hadley absolutely loved the guards at Buckingham Palace. The guys in the red coats, the shiny boots, the big black bear-skinned hats that they get from Canada, I found out, and she loved them. And it was odd because it seemed like every single road in London led to Buckingham Palace. We couldn't get away from it. And at times it was a little bit obnoxious because when we'd go to Buckingham Palace, our little genius 3-year-old would be like, there's the palace, let's go see the guards. And so then we'd have to stand at the gate and watch them literally do nothing. But she's standing there at the gates, plastered between the bars, looking at them. And so she wanted to see the guards. She wanted to see the guards. And we got to see the changing of the guard when Miss Lisa and Pastor came over. And it's interesting for sure. And the guards are heavily armed at Buckingham Palace. The police don't have guns in England, but the guards have M16s. It's really fun. And so, you know, if anything ever happens, just go there. There's a lot of guns there. And it's funny because not only will they let you know if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, but even if you just get too close. I don't know if you've ever seen a video of a guard yelling at someone. They have something called, down the road from Buckingham Palace, if you take a left, there's this place, and it has the horse guard. And they have signs, and it says, the horses will bite, don't get too close. I think they train them. We stood there for 10 minutes, and I watched two people get bit by a horse, and that's awesome. I mean, the sign says it, it's your own fault. And so these ladies will go up, and they'll try to take a picture, the wind will blow their hair into the horse's face, and just grab on and pull. It's an amazing thing. And even if you get too close, the guards will yell at you, and they'll say something like, step away from, now it's His Majesty's property, something like that. And they let you know, you're too close. And at that same spot where the horse guard is, they'll march in the open. They're not behind gates, really. And I watched a guy, he wasn't paying attention, and this guard was marching, and he got a good old-fashioned shove. I mean, like recess in elementary school shove, wasn't paying attention. I mean, he almost hit the ground. These guards mean business. And so I read a story a while back. I tell you about the guards and how intense they are because in the summer of 1982, you may know this story, a man named Michael Fagan breached into Buckingham Palace. Just a normal British dude who was struggling decided he wanted to talk to the Queen. And so June of 1982, he made his way late at, you know, around dusk. He climbed the wall of Buckingham Palace, and then he shimmied up a gutter and across into a window and found a window that was unlocked, and he began to roam the halls of Buckingham Palace. This would be like someone breaking into the White House, okay? And he's roaming the halls of Buckingham Palace. He's looking at all these things. He even took time to sit on the royal throne. And he sat a moment on the throne, and he stood up. And at some point or another, he tripped an alarm, and he escaped out the same window, jumped over the same wall, and left. Well, the report from Buckingham Palace originally said, well, it's just a messed up alarm, and we needed to fix it. A few weeks later, July of 1982, he hops the wall again. He shimmies up into a window, finds one that's unlocked, and hops into Buckingham Palace, and he starts to look for the Queen's bedroom because he wants to talk to the Queen. And so he starts to walk through, and he finds Her Majesty's residence. And he opens the door, and she's home. So now the Queen is sitting there in her bed with a random guy named Michael, and he's sitting on her bed talking to her for several minutes. Broke into Buckingham Palace. And he's there, and they have this full-on conversation. But eventually, she was able to summon help because she found an alarm in her room that she could hit a button without Michael knowing, and they busted into her room, arrested him, took him away, and then from then on, the security of Buckingham Palace, you'll never guess, has gotten a lot tighter. But that isn't that how worry is? It just kind of sneaks in, and before you know it, you're trapped in one room of your mind, and you literally can't escape. Are you following the picture here? It roams the halls, and it looks for something that you're gonna sit and think about for a long time. And finally finds whatever that subject in your life is, and then goes down the rabbit hole of worry and worry, and you're trying to sound the alarm, but guess what? You're so trapped by the worry, you hardly can even function. Okay, just me tonight? I'm the same way. And I'm going to switch arms here, okay? And when we, Brother David, you want to fix my backpack for me? Because this is hard and heavy. Thank you. Thanks. As he gives me a break. But I can worry as a missionary. This is where it relates to missionaries, but we're going to get to you, okay? So sharing time with Colin, and then we're going to get to you. And so I can worry as a missionary, and when we got on the road, my worries completely changed. I started to go from church to church, and I would think, that was way too fast. And I would think, thank you, my friend. Oh, look at this. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Got it. This is much easier. And we would get on the road, and we would go from church to church to church, and they would say, hey, Brother Colin, we're planning on taking you on for support, and that's exciting times. But after a while, if we didn't see it come through on one of our weekly ledgers that we get from our secretary, it would cross my mind, did we do something to offend him on the way out the door? And I would worry about it, and I would rehearse every conversation with church members. I could start rehearsing conversations we had at dinner, how we left the missions apartment, how dirty the car was. I mean, whatever it was, I could worry and worry and worry. And then it would come through, and I'd realize I worried for nothing. Is that how your worries happen? How about this? And can I tell you this? I know for a fact I'm not the only missionary that struggles with worry, okay? I worried if deputation would ever end. I feel like when we hit that 50% mark of needed support, I thought, we're only halfway there. We've got a whole long way to go. And I thought, is this ever going to end? I would worry if my car was going to run as we drove through the middle of nowhere, New Mexico, because they don't believe in, humanity. And so, or civilization. I would think things like, okay, or we'd be standing at the table talking to church members and someone would come up and say, have you seen the news out of the UK lately? I'd be like, yeah. And then this is their question. Are you sure you want to go there? And I'm like, you're really helping me out. I mean, it makes me feel really excited to go. Thank you. And then I would look up the news and more. And I would watch the news. Or this question would come across as well. Are y'all going to be with all those radical Muslims over there? London's got a lot of them. And I'm like, my entire life is being uprooted. We know who's there, okay? I mean, and then my mind would run. I can get on X and I can scroll through the BBC News and all the politics of England and try to understand them, and I can worry. And I can say 100 times, we trust God and we know He's going to protect us while we're there. That's where He wants us to go. And, I've heard this 1,000 times. Once you get to the field, don't be surprised when this percentage of churches drop you. And it varies from anywhere from like 5% to like 20. And I'm like, just because we got there, we're going to get dropped by like 1/4 of the churches that we went to? This is insane. And I can worry about that. And you may think, this is silly, Brother Colin. If your paycheck was coming from 100 different places every month, you'd be like, okay, wait a minute. What's wrong with that guy? You know what I mean? And I can worry about that. And I can think, what about this? I can worry about my mom. I can worry about my wife's mom. I can worry about our kids growing up in the United Kingdom. And I can worry about just so many different things. But you can worry as well. And you can worry about your kids. And you can worry about your job or your business or the economy. You can worry about elections and officials that may be in office here very soon. Worry about your grandkids or your great-grandkids. You can worry about the country your grandkids and generations to come will live in, because the America you grew up in, by golly, it's not the same as it is now. Right? I've heard this back in my day. If you're guilty of saying that, naughty, naughty. But back in my day, it was much better. Thanks. It's really encouraging to us young people. We really do appreciate it. It makes us, worry and lose hair. Don't judge me. Okay, here we go. We're going to keep going here. You can have anxiety from news channels and news articles. You can have knots in your stomach about conversations that you're going to have with somebody that aren't going to be a fun conversation. You can worry about your health or the amount of money you have for retirement. You can worry about things that likely will never happen. I have ridiculous fears. Anybody else have a ridiculous fear that you know will probably never happen, but you are worried all the time about it? Can I tell you mine? If I tell you mine, you have to tell me yours after, okay? When I'm using Q-tips to clean my ears, I always confirm that there's no doors near my elbows. Because if my wife or kids come slamming in there, that Q-tip is going all the way to my brain. You know, and that's, listen, every single time. You can judge me, it's cool, but it's true. We have ridiculous fears that may or may not ever happen. And here's the thing. Whatever keeps you up at night, whatever puts knots in your stomach, whatever you seem you can't get off your mind, can I tell you this? We have the solution. All you have to do is pray. Now, and I know that sounds almost too simple, and we can say amen and we can be strong, but when it's 3 o'clock in the morning and we're worried about something, we're not just thinking, I should pray. At times, I'm in the rabbit hole of what if this happens and what if this happens, and prayer does not come across my mind. But if we just take Philippians 4, 6, and 7 for what it says, if you pray instead of worry, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. Now, we talked about guards for a reason. That word keep is like a military term. And it's like placing a guard at the gate or the door of your mind and your heart. And so when you begin to worry, all you have to do is pray. And when you pray instead of worry, it's like God sends two guards, not in red coats with big bearskin hats. It's the peace of God, and He stands, His peace stands at guard, not only in your mind, but also in your heart. Because John, the book of John tells us that Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That word troubled is this. It's like, don't let your heart begin to boil with emotions. Can anybody else be troubled in here tonight? I can be. And whenever I begin to worry and think about things and worry about things and just dive down the self-anguish and torture that worry is, all we have to do is pray. And the people in Philippi had a lot to worry about. Nero was nuts. And he didn't have the red tape bureaucracy that our politicians should have and sometimes skip over, but they should, and it's there. But we also have some things that we could maybe try to justify worrying about, don't we? You watch the news, I watch the news. An election is coming up, and they're saying this, and they say it every time, but this one has a little bit different of a feel, doesn't it? That it's the most important election to ever take place in the United States. And honestly, it has a feel to that, doesn't it? Because one is communism, and the other is not. That's crazy. And we see things that are going on not only in crazy California or Washington or Oregon State, not on the West Coast, or as my father would lovingly call it, the Left Coast, but there's things happening on the east side of our state. And you can worry about Texas turning purple. You follow me here? Because East Texas isn't West Texas. West Texas, we're American. And before we're American, we're Texan. And we know how to vote. If you're going to move from California, you better learn. I know the things that we've all said and thought and maybe typed on a keyboard and hit enter for the world to see. I know. And we can worry about our politics and our country and our economy, and we can worry about our children's future in this country and what they're going to grow up in. And you can worry about your missionary in Japan, and you can worry about your missionary in the United Kingdom, where there's a bunch of crazy Muslims and everything that's ever been pointed out to us on the road. It's not a fun thing. But can I tell you this? That God does not call us to worry. He has not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us the spirit of power and of a sound mind, which means this: we are not called to worry. We are called to pray. And when you pray, it's an absolutely amazing thing. The worry goes away. And two guards, the peace of God comes to keep your heart and your mind. And we can say amen, but if we don't, If we say amen in here, then we should also believe it at 2 o'clock in the morning when we can't sleep. And we should believe it when we turn on Fox News or Newsmax or we read an article and we start to worry. And we start to worry about the crazy things that are going to happen. And we can worry about our grandkids and our great-grandkids. And we can think, I don't know what this country's going to come to, but Lord, we need you to do something. And we can worry and we can pine our lives away. Or we can pray. But it's easy to agree, the book of James tells us, to be hearers of the word and not doers. And so tonight, my friends, and I'm finished, if worry climbs over the walls of your mind and shimmies up a wall and finds an open room like Michael Fagan and sits down and starts a conversation with you, and they just stirring and stirring and stirring and stirring to where you just start to spiral downward farther and farther and farther. Take one moment and cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But the amazing thing is oftentimes we'll pray and we'll do the right thing and then we'll pick it back up. And you say, well, what do I do then? Pray again. And here's the amazing thing, is that two times Michael Fagan broke into Buckingham Palace. The first time went undetected, sat on the throne. Can you imagine the story he told to all his friends that next day? Guys, you'll never believe it. And then a few weeks later, just to prove a point, he went and found the queen. But after that second time, security breaches at Buckingham Palace do not happen because they learned their lesson. They learned, we have some issues in our security and we need something to change. Does your mind have some issues with the security? Are you letting worry in so much that it's almost like your bestie? And you just put it on every day and it weighs you down. And you go to work and you get your job done, but you're just weighted down. And you're weighted down. And the amazing thing is, the more you worry, the heavier it gets. And maybe you're one of these people, and I've asked this question, but I've been close to where, how do people get to the point where they don't get out of bed in the day? Because they're so weighed down with the worry and the anxiety that they have allowed into their minds. But Christian, today you have victory through Jesus Christ. And all you have to do tonight and from now on is pray. And when you do, you drop a heavy load. And the more you do it, the more you pray, and the more you pray, and the more you pray, the stronger the guards get at the gates of your heart and mind. Because you'll have the peace of God beyond what you can imagine. And people will go, I don't know how you have such peace in a world like this. And you'll be able to say, through Christ Jesus and prayer, God has given me the peace that passes all understanding. Don't turn to a bottle. Don't turn to a substance. Don't turn to anything else. Turn to the Lord. And he'll place those guards at your heart and your mind. But you have to pray.